Board. For those wishing to make application to this area, see Nick for any questions. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine, the importance of doctrine, and we're in, still in Roman numeral 1. So let's turn there. God has provided for believers in Jesus Christ who are in the know a rapid recovery system for restoration of fellowship. Believers in Christ are always believers in Christ. Of course, we are not always in fellowship. So we have been provided with a technique based on God's grace and based on his perfect character. He isn't becoming liberal. He's completely consistent with his plan. So you have rebound to establish being in fellowship as a believer in Christ so you can be filled with the Spirit, so that you can at this time effectively worship God in spirit and in truth and be reminded of those things that are necessary for good spiritual health. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth. We thank you that you've made every provision for us to be able to be here this morning and to be able to review and look at the principles that set positive believers apart from those who are not. Thank you for this day, this opportunity, and the fellowship with you through your word and with those who know and love the truth. In Jesus' name. All right, I'm just picking up here. Bible doctrine contains no error or distortion whatsoever. I didn't say you'd understand it all, and there are things in the Bible that may appear to be contradictory, but they are not. Proverbs 8, 6, and 9. Personification of wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing crooked or perverted in them. They're all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. H. Knowledge of Bible doctrine is the basis for discernment and separation from evil. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony. This is within the context, of course, of the age of Israel. And to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. Psalm 1. The objective in the life of believers is that they aspire to this standard. Yes, it's a high standard. It should be, because we're dealing with God and His plan. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, place themselves in situations where they are unnecessarily exposed to corrupt types, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, whatever kind of association that might be, for those who mock doctrine, mock certain aspects of the plan of God, the righteous man, he does not want to be in those assemblies and in those associations. But his delight, the contrast, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He spends time reflecting on the things that he knows to be true, that he has learned, and this is a part of good spiritual health. Meditation. That's where you're by yourself, away from whatever, and you're focusing on Bible doctrine and Scripture. What is the upshoot of this? Such a person, he'll be like a tree, firmly planted by the streams of water. Oh, what do you suppose that means? It means someone who has positioned themselves in their life where they can have intake of the Word of God. In this dispensation, an environment where there is a local church doing its job, he places himself in a position so he has ready access to the truth. Today, we are even more without excuse. We've got this church. We've got the resources to be here. And we have, well, I could do a whole list of things that we have. In addition, we have the ability to get this information off of the web when we can't be here for whatever reasons, or just to go over things by way of review. It's out there. The truth is out there, available. People are without excuse. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. The water represents the Word of God. What we see in a healthy, mature tree is the root, is the trunk and the branches and so forth. But it's what's deep down in the ground that's making the difference. Because the tree is located next to a stream, its roots will always find adequate water for this large tree to flourish. So that verse 3, he is a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. So this would be a fruit tree of some sort. And yielding fruit in its season refers to divine good production, producing divine good. Psalm 1 is where we're at, which yields its fruit in its season. That means you're not running around trying to find something to do. It's brought to you, and you make application. And a whole big panorama of things that we can do as believers. All right. The external environment of the tree is subject to weather conditions and has to survive these conditions. Adverse weather conditions, I mean. And its leaf does not wither. We've all seen that with a tree with inadequate water. Its leaf does not wither. So it goes, and you'll notice here, it goes back and forth between the tree that represents the individual believer who has positioned his life by a stream where there is always underground water to be pulled up through the massive root system so that the tree flourishes regardless of the external environment above ground. And its leaf does not wither. Here's another one. See, because he's adjusted, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That's the goal. That's the goal, to flourish and prosper. Then by contrast, total contrast, the world of negative volition. Now I know the word wicked would conjure up someone who is, you know, morally and otherwise bankrupt. And yet, this refers to a world of people who are bottom line negative. They don't want to hear it. They are going to live their lives their way and do their thing and end up in the same situation that those that preceded them. The wicked are not so. The wicked here refers to the world of unbelievers. We'll deal with negative believers later. Obviously touch on those. But what we're dealing here is the world of unbelievers. And they outnumber us. Well, I don't know what it is to what. But at any time, they are the vast throng of people that are moving through this life. What are they likened to? Let's take something that is the total contrast to a well-placed, flourishing, in this case, fruit tree. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Okay, chaff is the outer shell covering. It's necessary, but it's the outer shell or covering of a grain of wheat. Like lots of things, peanuts, whatever. They have a protective shell over them to preserve what's inside. I suppose there's other lessons in this. We benefit by what the world of negative volition and unbelievers do. They invent things. They produce products, services, and all the other things that they do. But these individuals are like chaff. Chaff, the word that comes to mind, is insubstantial. Oh, it may appear that they're it. They got it all. They got the big, beautiful mansion on the nice piece of property. Saw one of those was featured on TV here in our city, burning to the ground. This was not a shack. It wasn't even an average residential domicile. This was on a property. People like that, they planned it. They're away from. They don't have neighbors close in, and they're out there, and these winds and these fires, this past week, one of the houses burned it to the ground. The only thing that was left was the chimney sticking up. And there was fire in them where it's supposed to be. So these people, I'm assuming, lost, at least with regard to that house, they lost everything, perhaps, that they worked a lifetime for. It all went up in flames. No chance to recover. It was it. It was so fast and furious. Of course, we're hearing this all the time of destructive things that are taking people out. You know where they ought to be and what they ought to be doing. They should have positioned themselves, not that they can't be tested, they should position themselves where they can have ready access to Bible doctrine. And that means a local church like this one. That's what they ought to do. But no. They, in their own mind, have better things to do. They might go to church. They might have the religious side for respectability. But they ain't doing them any good. I'm not happy for people, but this is the deal. It's a dangerous world. You need Bible doctrine so that whatever you might go through that is in the bracket of adversity, and it can be way up there for the believer. He's got all the promises of God. God will keep him, bless him, protect him, take him through it, and bring him out on the other side fine. That's right. Find somebody in the Bible who suffered a lot from others and circumstances. Find somebody in there, in your word. He's like this tree, or she. They're like it. God is in favor of that person, and whatever testings and adversities come, they work together for good. You've got to keep that in front of you all the time. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. And so, through the course of human history, all these people who were negative, time and circumstance swept them away. All that may be left behind is some museum or some remembrance of their achievements on this earth. But they're driven away. Therefore, the wicked here in this verse, a believer can act wickedly, yes. But we're not in the category of the wicked. That's the category of unbelievers. At least believers have made the big step, so they are assured, if they want to learn doctrine and grow, they are assured that come what may, everything's going to be fine. Yeah, they'll go on in life under normal circumstances, grow old, and die. So the wicked, this chaff, we're not through with it because the wind drives it away. The wind driving it away refers to their demise. They live and they die. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Think of all the people. They're going to be brought. I can't. It's mind-boggling. All the people from Adam down to the great white throne judgment. This is without specifying the details and the basis for that judgment, this is the final judgment. The last judgment. And it falls on the heads of resurrected unbelievers throughout the entire course of human history. The numbers are almost incalculable. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners. Now, sinner, again, it can be used as a sin. Not all places. James calls out some of these believers to whom he wrote his letter as sinners, because they are running amok under their sin natures. So that's the category for believers. But this is unbelievers. Nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, the path the righteous take. The righteous makes good decisions, starting with salvation and hooking up with the proper teaching. This is the way of the righteous. And they're going to do it, and in the best case scenario, in the ideal case scenario, they are going to persevere, endure. It may not look good. Was a child of God, and they're going through this? Yes. It's in the Bible. Now, I don't have time. I'm not going there now. The reasons why do Christians, good Christians, we'll boil it down to them. Why do Christians suffer? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What does that mean? That means there's coming a point in human history where the lifestyles of the wicked, whether they're at the top of the food chain or clear down here, and everything in between, upper class, middle class, the poor. But the way of the wicked will perish. History will eventually reach a point. You can look around, you can't see them. And they don't have any replacements. That's, of course, reserved for where you and I are going to ultimately wind up. I dare say, very few out there that are Christians, certainly not unbelievers, very few out there running around Christians know how to articulate this. But you need to know what your future is and what you can do to ensure that it will be above and beyond glorious. Starting with salvation and the basic salvation package and the promises connected to it. And then what can you do? Take in doctrine and deal with whatever hand is dealt to you. It's a winner. You play it through, it is always going to be a winner. 1 Timothy 6. Three through six. Now here's one that's for you. All human viewpoint aside, well, they're nice people. Well, they're Christians. Well, I don't think I have to separate from that person just because he doesn't believe a particular doctrine. I'm not talking about someone who's learning stuff. I'm talking about someone who has blown off certain doctrines. You know what? As in the human realm, do people normally hang out with people who have a different viewpoint with regard to the things of life? No. They hang out with those who they have their fellowship with based on a common set of ideas and principles that they adhere to. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, Paul telling Timothy, and does not agree with sound words, well, that's going to cover some people. That definitely is going to cover some people. Those of our Lord Jesus Christ. The things that came out of His mouth, in addition to the words that are found by others who were inspired and brought to us the plan of God. And with the doctrine conforming to godliness, the godliness code. It's a code. People have systems they've been in, and they operate under a code of behavior, attitudes towards things. Now, a lot of these people out here, they don't have any code. They're just, you know, bouncing around from whatever suits them in the passing moment. It's confirmation to godliness. We all should be on the same page. We all should be aspiring to the same things. When something's taught to you, file it in your human spirit, file it away, and when a situation arises, you can take your stand on that principle, that doctrine that you learned in Bible class. Those out there don't have that. By and large, they don't have it. Moving on. The person that will not do this is conceited. It means he or she is full of themselves. They're conceited. And understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and in disputes about words out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. So he comes into a group who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They're into it. They're into their religion or their faith or their system so they can prosper. We've heard it referred to. It's been a while, but they're out there. It's called the health and wealth prosperity gospel. But God wants every believer to be well-to-do, blah, blah, blah. But by the way, we want you to be well-to-do, and there's a way to do this. Send us money. And these people, even who don't have very much, will fork over money to these charlatans, these fakes that appear on TV or wherever they are. No, the Word of God does not say that it is the goal of all believers and the end result of all believers to have financial abundance and good health. But that exists, principally exists, in my exposure, it exists among the tongues, the tonguers, those type people. I was exposed to them on TV. I didn't have to watch them, but I ran across them on TV, on the religious channels. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting. But I don't feel sorry for the people that listen to this and fork over money. I don't feel sorry for them for a bit. And constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain, when accompanied by contentment. being content with your allotment and your circumstances as they now stand. Your external circumstances, wherever on this ladder you might be, is not a measure of who and what you are. There have been very good believers in human history who were in the lower classes economically. My super pain pill gives me dry mouth. But it works. What can I say? I like this verse a lot. Godliness is a means of great gain in this life and the one to come. Particularly in the one to come. It's a means of gain. You follow the blueprint, you follow the plan, you stick with it, and God will drop into your lap those things, not just that you need for survival, that too, but above and beyond, of which we here in varying degrees have been the recipients of. I have, I know. And then we'll add this. For we have brought nothing into the world. We didn't come out of our mother's womb with a fistful of cash, a Rolex watch, a 3-carat diamond ring. Even if we were born into a family that was wealthy. So God is not impressed with what people have. They have come and they have gone. So we cannot take anything out of it either. You cannot take your goodies with you. Rapture occurs, they're left behind. Let these people deal with them. Well, that ought to be a sight for sore eyes, to watch these people running amok, grabbing on. And for what? And for how long? They will just be maniacal. Because for the first time, for some of them, they've never had, and so they want to plunder the house of a departed believer because they're stupid. They don't even know how to use the products they see properly. They haven't been trained. If we have food and covering. You know, run up to your local grocery store, wherever you get your foodstuffs. If we have food and covering, that includes obviously the clothing that you have. I came casual today. I hope I'm not offending you. If you have food and covering, this would also include a roof over your head. It may not be everything, but here again, down the road, God may move you up to a better situation. Because there may be some problems with your living quarters, the landlord, whatever it is. Just faith rest it and move on. Thank Him for what you got. You look around this world today, and you see the minions out there. I've seen it in various countries. I've seen them. Seen it in Mexico and otherwise. Living in little makeshift, not even regular buildings. Living in little makeshift metal, cardboard. I've seen them. I observed them as I drove down the road past their place. Go a little further. Whoa, look at that house. The contrast.
So, godliness is actually a means of great gain. Let's plug into this. I get emails all the time. Invest in this. Before Biden signs his executive order that will attack your retirement savings or whatever it is. These things bore me. They bore me to tears. Not literally. Because you know where my trust is? The one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. This is an expression to illustrate that God owns all this. And we got these verses where God can take this person's wealth, who's negative and corrupt, and transfer it over to a believer. And you don't have to run around like a chicken with your head off. And, oh, we got the ultimate stock now. Please invest in this. Or this company is designed to go up 2,000% in no time. Oh. And there are a lot of overtly successful people in all this. They're wrapped up in this. And it wouldn't darken the door of an adjusted Bible church. They would not. What good's that going to do you in the day of his wrath? Your stock portfolio. It may comfort you at night. Oh, I got all this. The Lord controls history, and it can be swept away in no time. No time. They go to bed one night, and before they get up in the morning, their house is leveled. And a big tornado just scattered it everywhere. They should have prepared themselves spiritually. That's the insurance they should have got. Well, I don't want to hear it. You need to do this. I'm always hitting unsubscribe and they still keep sending it to me. What is the point of having that on there? You know, we got all this technology. Why don't they have a technology they could have that you could just block it forever off of your computer or with all the solicitors, scammers and otherwise, they call on your phone. Why isn't there a button you can hit? And if that number ever tries to ring you again, it's dead. They could do that. Just build it right into your phone. If that sequence of numbers comes to you, all they get is a busy signal or whatever, or this can't be reached. Okay. You heard my harp on that. Oh, it's a small thing, I know. Proverbs 2. Well, you can't help people that don't want to be helped. I try to give people outside this church. Well, I don't do it inside the church too, among the royal family here. I try to give people advice about things. No. When I got my hair cut, my stylist out there at the boardroom complained about being afflicted with allergies. She's got to get a doctor and she's got to go get some medicine. Okay. I said, I know a real good health food store. I'm not saying they have something. Well, why don't you just go there and ask them? Tell them what you got. I'll go natural any day of the week if I can. If I have to take something else, you know, they're amazed because you have to answer these questionnaires over and over again, the same questions, and you're in the hospital. I gave this to this person. I'm giving you the same stuff. They look at me. He's an elderly gentleman. You're on no meds? No. And I'm not putting down people that are on them. That's your business. They must have checked me out 10 times a day. See what my vital signs were. Well, they can't check your spiritual vital signs because they don't know how to check those. Perfect blood pressure, perfect temperature, oxygen level just right. I know. There's all kinds of young people whose health is atrocious. But I'm not up here to advise you about your physiological health, other than where it touches on Scripture. I'm not up here to advise on that. It's not my job. I'm up here to advise on your spiritual health. You need to go out and pray about that and find the right thing. And some have. Some have. I can't remember the condition. It's a skin. It's extremely painful skin disorder. I racked my brain. It's like I fell down a memory hole. What was that? I should know it. And they're ready to go to the doctor, and Leary didn't all want to do it because the medication puts you as damn much pain as the thing you got, whether it takes care of it or not. So they did some research online, found a product, got it at the local health food store, and within a few days, they were out of the woods. God blesses the righteous with what they need. Then there's obviously the supernatural divine intervention that's above and beyond any natural product or any other therapy or anything else, where God lifts someone up out of a bed of sickness. That's in the Bible too. Okay, where did I say it was? The second chapter of Proverbs. This is a father teaching a son. Well, in this case, it's the illustrious King Solomon, who in his day was renowned. He's a believer, right? Oh, he had some problems. It's one of those conundrums where you go, how can God bless this guy? How's he got so much and all the rest? Well, he did this or that. All those wives in his harem, let's put them way over here. We don't want to listen to that mess. I can only imagine. I don't care how nice looking they are. He accumulated stuff. The Bible gave guidelines for the kings of Israel. You know what the guideline was? Not too many wives. Solomon broke that. I guess when he had 140, it was okay. I'm a reporter, okay? You can process it. And he was not to have too many horses. You imagine the stables that they would have with all these thoroughbreds and all these wonderful horses. Beautiful animals. Well, Solomon collected stuff. He was a clothes horse. Jesus paid tribute to that fact, not in a way, oh, this is great. He just paid tribute to the fact and made mention of the fact that Solomon, he said, in all his glory, cannot match what God can do by putting flowers, wild flowers, out in open land or on hills. God can just decorate them like you can't believe. Anyway, Solomon had all these things. All of it. And whatever you think of Solomon, this is a lesson some people around here, maybe, perhaps, still to this day, you haven't caught it yet. See, with knowledge should come understanding. You can recite a whole package of knowledge about facts, details, and so forth, but you have to have understanding. You have to know how to implement it and apply it with understanding, insight.
What? Apparently, he wasn't too tied up with all these goodies. I imagine what it was like to go into his banquet hall. Open up this room and look at his wardrobe. His glorious chariot. Today we'd call it, you know, some form of automobile or automobiles. When you got that kind of money, buying a new Ferrari is nothing. Big deal. Anyway, since I started late, I will continue later. This Bible class. This is the only one we're having today. Okay? Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for those of you who deserve to be thanked. Thank you for your intercessory prayer during the time of my ordeal. Hopefully I was in fellowship enough to get some SG3 out of it when I was near screaming. And all the rest of the poking and prodding and all the rest of it, you know. My son, if you'll receive my words. This is a father talking to a son. If you will receive, there's no guarantee you're going to. I can't force it on you. And treasure my commandments within you. When doctrine becomes personal, it's my commandments. Handed to me from God, now they're my commandments. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. You start hearing someone explain some divine viewpoint about something, you ought to perk up. Whoa. What's that? We're going to study the doctrine of. Get all the earwax out, literal or physical or spiritual. Get all that out. Because there's a lot of verses that say that people have a problem with hearing. Now we're not talking physiological. Dullness of hearing. Have you been around believers through time who were with doctrine? Now, we'll forget about people who just nod their head like one of those dolls they had back in the day. Well, I'm not talking about that. That they're not excited about Bible doctrine. It's like a one-way conversation. Hey, look at this. This is great. Then you find one that it's give and take. They can throw stuff back. Hey, guess what I came across? Further confirming the doctrine of the flat earth or whatever it is. And they're excited about it. It isn't about, oh, I know that and you don't. That's not an issue. Yeah, I have confidence and I know this. How do you have fellowship with someone like that? I'm not talking about a relationship where you deal with the everyday things of life, which can be entertaining and informative. But I'm talking about someone who can talk and have understanding and zeal. Drop divine viewpoint on the average person out there. You might as well spit into the wind. I always keep my antennae up in case there's someone. I might drop a little something here and there to my hairstylist or whoever. If I don't get any follow-up, then, you know, I'm not going to continue to press them with the issue. Let God deal with them and take care and do whatever he has to do. Because I've learned you can't win. You can't win people over that don't have a past, an immediate past, where they're looking for answers. And you're not going to find it on your TV. Well, you might find it on one of those things that present some kind of a commentary, expose on something.
I saw one. It was brief. It wasn't. I don't think it was 5 minutes. I wasn't looking for it. I just stumbled on it. Exposing, and there's a lot of people have done it, exposing Freemasonry, the Masonics. He had been one. And he had a little program called the Prophecy Club. And the topic today was, do you know so-and-so is a Freemason, big time? They don't run around and say, hey, I'm a Mason. You may catch that they got a ring on. I had certain ministers have these lapel pins and stuff, advertising the fact, you're a Christian, you're a member of the body of Christ, and you went out and became a Mason too? Oh. So secret societies, these kind of things, they're not of God. A lot of mischief goes on there. And he was exposing things. He said, because I was that close to it, up in it, that are unspeakable for the degeneracy and things that they have conjured up. Because of Satanism. What do you think he's going to sell people? He'll sell them the biggest pile of garbage in the world, and people will fall right into it. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for discernment, I have, with regard to topics, Lord, I'm at a dead end here on this topic. All I can do is ask you to deliver the information to me. I'm going about my business as a pastor teacher, but if there's anything out there, I don't care who's promoting it in a book, in a whatever. In your time, in your way, you get it to me. Get it to me. When's the last time you prayed for wisdom? Further understanding, in-depth understanding of the plan of God. Or you wind up just being on the surface, this superficial Christian who can point out, that's wrong, that's right. How can you do that and be a believer or be a positive believer? Come on. We're naive. You want me to tell you about the lives of the saints in the Bible? Maybe that'll remind you of something. You know, this old funny thing. You couldn't do that and be saved. Oh, please. Or, how can you be positive and do that? We had a deacon who take people aside. Now, how could you be positive and to this other person? They told me about it later down the road. How can you be positive and do drugs? He said, can you and be positive? Now, you're not using good judgment, to say the least. But you can be positive. Whereas another person that's squeaky clean in this area, they are not positive. They aren't going anywhere. Now this other person may be overtaken by it and may destroy their life on this earth as a believer if they don't clean up their act. If you seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures. There's treasure seekers out there. And they've been out in the world for a long time. They're looking for some ship that sunk in the ocean. And we know from the records on land that they were carrying a bunch down in the belly of that ship. They were carrying a bunch of wealth. And it's all over the earth. Places where this exists. People are devote themselves to following up on things and looking and trying to find these hidden or lost treasures. They got whole organizations to do it. And once while they're successful. They found a perfectly preserved a bunch of champagne sent to the Tsar of Russia. Sent to the Tsar of Russia from France. That's where the good champagne. That's it. And it got sunk out there in the Baltic or Black Sea, whatever. In ice cold waters. Not ice cold. They pulled that stuff up out of there, popped those corks, and it was perfect. Yeah, there's all kinds of hidden treasures on the earth. And search for her as for hidden treasures. Then you'll discern the fear of the Lord. You'll really understand what He's for and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He distributes it to them because they're among, another term for believers in the Old Testament, that guy is upright. That guy is straight. You know the word we my generation, it was considered derogatory to call someone square. No, it wasn't back then. The guy is square. He's a square dealer. You deal with him, and what comes out of his mouth is what he's going to do. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Well, Father, keep your shield around me. So whatever's thrown at me, those bounce off. Guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of the godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice. So you don't just automatically know this. You will discern it. And equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion, good judgment, will be granted you. Understanding will watch over you. It will deliver you from the way of the evil, from the man who speaks perverted things. And we've got a lot of those through history, for sure. From those who leave, the path of uprightness, reversionism. We have a term for it. They're with it, they're with the right path, and then they flip off. They leave the path. They throw their guidebook away, and here we are. You can find your answers and the directive will of God in Scripture with regard to situations. If you're willing to do that, to walk in the ways of darkness. We call this reversionism. They leave the true and tried path. And now they're out there in darkness. And I hear stories from time to time, and I'll look for none of it, about the conditions that some of these believers who have bailed are into now. What they have embraced. Hope I'm not boring you. It's staggering. It's staggering. They were that, and now they're this? Absolutely. Who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. He says to his son here that he gives us this lesson to. He says, something else doctrine will do for you. To deliver you from the strange woman. The strange doesn't mean weird looking. There's plenty of those out there. From the adulteress, otherwise woman, who flatters with her words. Her lips drip honey. But that's it. That leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. This is a believer. And she's in sex reversionism. While married, and she's out here snagging these dummies. For her house sinks down to death. She's moving ever forward to the sin and to death, a premature checkout by God. And her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land. That's for the age of Israel. And the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land. Corrupt Jews. And the treacherous, double-dealing, treacherous, stab-in-the-back types. And the treacherous will be uprooted from it. The ultimate expression of that will be, of course, in the millennium, when all these corrupt Jews and everything, they'll be removed. There's a bunch of them over there now. They're corrupt, starting with the salvation and so forth. All right, we'll stop here. I have about 8 minutes till by this clock. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Before you jump up and walk out of here, get me off this. I don't want the cosmos to hear this. It's another business.